from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will... Wait. O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know what I am, the Lord. When I open your graves and you have rise and you have rise from them, O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Mercy and fullness of redemption. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you, Lord, is forgiveness, that you may be revered. With the Lord there is mercy, and fullness of redemption. I trust in the Lord, my soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will never die. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus has heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also and die with him." Then when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Important things first. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So, if you're lucky enough to be Irish, you're lucky enough. Exactly. We're getting into these big epic readings, and the Gospel of John, unlike the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all refer to these things like raising people from the dead, feeding 5,000. They all refer to them as miracles. John refers to them as signs. Why? Because a sign points to something. It points out a reality. John only picks 7 signs, 7 miracles, to point out the identity of who Jesus is and how we relate to him. And so what is this sign pointing to? And so, right, this is... Let's dive into this because, you know, if you only pick 7, right, he uses everything around it to point out this dynamic relationship that we have with Christ, right? If it was just about Jesus showing that he has power over life and death, he could have picked any old dead guy and just said, "You're back to life. Done." But he specifically chose his friend Lazarus to allow to die. And he specifically allowed his 2 very close friends, Martha and Mary, to grieve. So all of these things are very important for what Jesus has chosen, for this to be a sign for us of how we are to trust him and enter into a deep relationship with him. So let's dive into this. First and foremost, why did Lazarus die? Because he was sick. But you know what? But why did Jesus allow all this to happen? So that the Son of Man might be glorified. A lot of times we're looking for reasons for why bad things happen to us and why bad things happen to our friends, right? And other people. And not many of us think of it from this direction, right? That God can be glorified through us, even through difficulty. There's no war heroes if there's no war. What's the point of a superhero if there's no difficulties and bad guys in the world? It gets kind of boring being Superman just getting cats out of trees, right? There can be no greatness of soul if there's no great challenges to overcome. And there can be no deep faith if there's no great deep tests of faith, right? So Jesus allows Lazarus to die to show the greatness of God being able to raise him from the dead and to allow the faith of his two friends to be shown, to test their faith, to deepen their faith, to make them not just acceptable, but to make them great and awesome saints. So when we get that's when we get to Lazarus. It says specifically several times that Jesus waited and that he was dead, that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. That's an interesting, why include that? Because in the theology of the time is that the soul stayed with the body after death for 3 days. So for the first 3 days, you were only mostly dead, okay? If you don't know that reference, go watch Princess Bride, change your life. Come on. But after 3 days, right? After 3 days, when you moved into day four, the soul left the body. There was no more of the capacity, right, for some healer or shaman or whatever to come in and raise this person from the dead. They were dead, D-E-D, dead. No coming back. They were in the tomb at that point. And so when Jesus comes in, these two friends know absolutely that their brother is dead. Okay? And so now we enter into our two great sisters, right? Martha and Mary, right? They're wonderful. Most of us know Martha and Mary from a different story, right? We know Martha. Everybody has, oh man, I'm a Martha person. I try to do too many things at once and I don't have time to do anything with Jesus, right? It's typical older type A personality, older sibling, right? Right, like where Jesus is in the house and she's taking the mentality of, there's so many things to do, Jesus, I don't have time to be with you. And Mary's sitting there at his feet, like, get to work too, there's so many things to do, right? Then we get Mary calmly sitting at the feet of Jesus, simply being friends with him. And we exalt Mary so often in that because she has chosen the better part. I think we see a different story here. Who comes out first to see Jesus? Martha. Martha runs out to him and she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. There's this complete and total trust. This is not the Martha that's so distracted by work that she doesn't have time to be with Christ. This is complete and total trust in him. In the depths of her grief, she sets aside all of expectations of sadness and just says, Lord, I trust you. You could have fixed this, but I trust that you can do, you could raise him from the dead. You could do all of this. Everything will be okay because you are here. And so he asks her, right? He says to her, right? Your brother will rise. And Martha says, I know he will rise on the resurrection on the last day. She trusts him so completely that she doesn't even make a demand or even ask that her brother be raised today. She trusts that at the end of time, when the dead are raised, that she will get to see her brother again. She's not asking for a miracle now. She's just saying that you are here. My brother trusted in you. I trust in you. So I know that me and my brother will see each other again when we rise on the last day. That's amazing trust. She's not even asking to fix the problem now. And so he gives her, certainly he rewards her faith. Now let's go to Mary. We're used to Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, just absolute contemplative life, soaking in the presence of Christ. And so Martha goes and gets her, and she comes out. It's a different story with Mary today. Mary comes to Christ and simply says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Period. This is not the act of faith of Martha, even though it uses the same words. It's an accusation. "Lord, you had the power to raise my brother from the dead, and you didn't come. Lord, you had the power to fix all of this, and you didn't." Martha, by adding that line, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you," is absent. It's an accusation to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize grief is a difficult process, right? We work through different stages of anger and stuff like that. And so it's certainly understandable in the human condition to get angry with God. Certainly not desirable, but it's understandable. Mary accuses Christ, "You could have fixed this, and you didn't." And how do we know that's how Mary said it? Because it says Jesus became perturbed and deeply troubled. That's an awful translation. So I wish they would keep some of these things in direct translation. Literally, the phrase there means that his spirit came through his nose, which means one of two things. Either he was so saddened that he did that deep sigh, right? From the depths of the soul, sadness. Where was the faith of Mary, who used to sit at his feet and trust him completely? The sadness that she now no longer trusts me in her grief. Or the other side of this, when he sees her weeping, he's so angry that he snorted. Right? "You should have faith, and you have fallen away from me." Right? "I am the Lord your God. Where is your faith?" Either one is understandable and accurate from our Lord. And so he looks at the Jewish people there. They should have faith in him as well, seeing all these signs, and it's gone. Where is it? Everybody is so overwhelmed with grief. Which means that when Jesus goes and raised Lazarus from the dead, it wasn't on the faith of the Jewish crowd. It wasn't on the faith of Mary, who had been ever so faithful to him up until now. It is only on the faith of Martha that this amazing miracle takes place. So never underestimate the depth of a fervent prayer, even from one person. Never underestimate that. So finally, then, we get to the actual resurrection of Lazarus. So many times we imagine Christ in some battle with death. He's wrestling, there has to be some superhero battle that we expect, right? If Captain America just walks into the bad guy's house, pops him in the face, and the movie's over, right? That's a really boring superhero movie. We want this epic struggle. But with Christ, there is no struggle between him and death. He commands life, and life is given. But he just says, "Lazarus, come out." And the impossible happens. A dead man is raised to life after 4 days. But the reality is with this, as I said, as a sign. This is not just about Jesus being able to raise people from the dead. If we want that deep life of Christ to be alive in us, for him to call us and raise us from the dead, we have to have Martha-level faith, to have this deep trust in our Lord for our loved ones and for ourselves, even in the face of death and grief and difficulty and testing. We have to have deep and complete and total trust in Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life. It's not just about Jesus' capacity to solve the problem of death. It's about our trust in him. So, have Martha-level faith, right? To have that deep and total trust in the easy times and in difficult times. And we will hear that amazing life of Christ alive in us each and every day, that we will have eternal life.